A scripture reading for tonight is from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Revelation 12, beginning in verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation, and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to continue the explanation of Revelation 12. We have to continue with verse 4. Dear congregation, maybe you remember that is in this chapter, the last trumpet blown by the angel and the 7th seal, the last seal, is opened. You know there were 7, and nobody was worthy to open the seals, only Christ. Whole history, world history, church history, personal history of all men is in his hands. And for his church, he opens it so that we may see the wonders of his grace. And maybe you remember, it's rather a long time ago that we had our last week's service, that when the seventh trumpet sounded, the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven. So sometimes the spotlight of God's revelation is directed to the earth, and sometimes it is directed to the heaven. And we are still in a part in which the spotlight of God's revelation is directed to heaven. And in the first verse, there appeared a great wonder, a portent, a token. Because heavenly things are expressed in human words. But we must never forget, it are the heavenly things. And of the heavenly things we read in the Bible, that no eye have seen it, no ear has heard it, and it didn't come up in the heart of man, what God has provided for them who love him. It goes beyond our small understanding what really happens in heaven, and therefore is spoken of the great wonder, but in the Greek is better translated the great token. So it's translated also in our Dutch Bible. And there, I repeat it shortly, was seen a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And maybe you remember that with the woman is meant the living church, the bride of Christ. I hope you are the woman clothed with the sun of righteousness and darkness, night under her feet, walking there still in the light of the moon, reflecting the light of the sun, but ready for the full eternal light of the Son of Righteousness and longing for it. Are you longing for the bride? The Spirit and the bride say, come, Lord Jesus, come, arise, O Son of Righteousness, into all eternity and perfection. Upon her head a crown of 12 stars, very beautiful, crowned with the crown of righteousness. 12, a very important number in the Bible, my dear children and young people, you know. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, representing the complete church. Then we see she is being with child, and she cried, travailing in birth, pain to be delivered. That's seen in heaven, that token, but it happens on the earth. The woman is always in travail of child. The church of the Old Testament, always looking forward in travail of the birth of child, of Christ. And the woman, the church of the living God, is always in travail of birth of Christ in the hearts of sinners. So that the body of Christ may become perfect. For it's one body, Christ the head, and all his members together, his perfect body. And there appeared another wonder token in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. That's another token in heaven. And, my dear children, Yuri, you understand what is meant with the dragon, of course, isn't it? Of course you do. You say that's the devil. You are right. That's the devil. A token in heaven. Yes. There he belonged originally. That's what we know. We don't know so much about the devil. Therefore, we must not say so much about the devil. Not more than the scripture is explaining and revealing us. There is much more what we don't know now and never shall know at this side of the grave. What we cannot comprehend of the divine things and history. What happened in heaven before God created heaven and earth. We don't know. We don't know only that the devil is an angel who didn't keep his love and obedience to the Lord and fell from him. A terrible being, the father of lie and murder and hate, the opposite of God. But his token is seen in heaven. His power is limited in time and strength, and is ruled from heaven. And God, in his eternal, not understandable for us wisdom, guides and rules everything to his goal and to his perfect glory. That's the rest. But the dragon is a mighty person, 7 heads, so intelligent, so clever, so much knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of theologic things, knowledge of science, 7 heads, a wonderful knowledge, and 7 is the number, is the holy number, the 7 spirits before the throne of God, 7, the holy number, 7 heads. Often reveals the devil himself as a creature of holiness, deceiving the people's soul, changing himself in an angel of light, and the same do his servants, prove the spirits, whether they are out of God. And that's only possible by the Holy Spirit. And 10 horns, 10 is also the number of fullness. 10 commandments. 10 horns, a fullness of might. Horns are the expression of might, strength. All strength for him. So it seems to be often. When the powers of Satan break out in world wars, in nuclear attacks, in terroristic attacks, can nobody stop? Yes. But it seems to be 10 full 7 crowns upon his heads. Again, the number of 7. Ruling and reigning the whole world. The whole world. The prince of this world. That's the name of the dragon in the word of God. And we know, when the time is approaching, coming nearer, that a Savior is coming, that the whole world shall follow the beast, except those whose names are written in the Book of Life. Did you see your own name by grace there already? then you are safe. And then you can discern between Satan, satanic, dragonic religion, and the true religion in spirit and truth, the Lord worshipping. Small number. When the Son of Man is coming, shall he find faith on the earth? And then we continue in verse 4. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. An expression which is not easy to explain really. And the meanings about it are very different. But I think that sometimes in the Word of God, the angels are compared with stars. By example, in the book of Job, that when God created the world, that the morning stars were singing joyfully. And it cannot suffer any doubt that with the morning stars there are meant the holy angels singing the glory of God when he was creating the world. For that's their task, to sing God's glory, to love him, to glorify him in all perfection. Wonderful, beautiful creatures. We don't know so much about their creation. And we don't say so much about it. Not more, as the Lord has revealed us in his word. That's enough. But we know that a part of the angels followed the dragon, became in his might and power. And therefore we read here, and his tail drew the third part, the big part of the stars of heaven, of the holy angels, not longer holy, changing in devils. We are many, a man possessed, full with devils. We are a legion, legio, thousands in one man. The evil spirits in the air, a big number. And it cast them to the earth. Therefore, this world is really a dangerous place, where the powers of evil, hate, lie, are ruling and reigning the nations. And the more the time is coming near that the Lord Jesus is coming, the worse it shall become. Even natural love shall disappear from the earth. And the Lord is teaching us a lot about that terrible time. Satan and his angels cast down to the earth, filling the hearts of the people, the leaders, bringing them to all kinds of terrible sins, to laws against the word of God, to bring a curse upon the nations and upon the lives of the people. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered. You can expect that. That where the woman is ready to be delivered. When the woman is bearing fruit, there is the dragon to devour the child. His enmity is raged against the living child, Christ. As soon as it was born, and see the woman brought forth a man child. And in the Greek, it's very strong, emphasized the male. For you can translate it also child, and so it becomes translated often with son. A manly son. An expression of his strength, his power. It shows us one beautiful side of Christ. A child, weak. A child, God manifested in the flesh. God, the creator of heaven and earth, born as a little child. Emmanuel, God with us in Christ. Who saw it? Did you see it? Did you see him when he was born? With the eyes of your soul? The wise men from the east, they made a long journey to see that wonderful king. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. They saw his divine strength and glory. A beautiful sight of Christ, his power. The child seems to be weak, has to flee for the wrath of Herod. The dragon wants to kill him. He's always trying where the child is, expressing his hate and anger and wrath against the child. Is the child in you? Is Christ in you, my friends? Are you born again? Christ in you, the hope of glory? Then you can be sure that a dragon shall be always near. To kill, not possible. But to try, to afflict, to tempt, there where Christ is, I will put enmity between thee, to Satan, to the dragon, and to this woman, between your seed and her seed. An enmity which shall always be there. But this child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and that's so beautiful expressed in the second psalm, how wonderful, how strong this child is. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So this expression reminds us at a great day of judgment. This manly child, this manly son, is the judge of heaven and earth. And we shall all stand before him at his right hand. What's your place? then you should die now. What's your place, my children? His right hand? Loving him? Following Christ? Belonging to him? Or his left hand? Indifferent? Unbelieving? Unconverted? How endless terrible is death? It's one of the two. Can you sing by grace, "The Lord is my shepherd"? His rod and his staff comfort me. The rod for the sheep, to chastise them, to bring them back to the flock. That's a great difference. But here is spoken of the rod for the enemies. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. And there now, in the time of grace, the loving counsel: be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So this portion reminds us to what is prophesied in the second psalm and shows us Christ in his power. And when he shall come to rule all nations, and then with a rod of iron. The rulers of this world think they are really mighty. Obama, other ones. They come together, United Nations. He who lives in heaven shall laugh. Where is God glorified? Nowhere. Where do rulers of the world seek Christ, accept Christ as the King of Kings and his law as the law of the nations? Nowhere. And we see in the whole world a great decline, turning the back to the Lord and his holy law. He shall rule them with an iron rod. That's coming. Poor people. And they are admired by millions and millions. Idols. People do commit a lot of idolatry with their leaders. And give the glory of God to man. But this shall be the end. And her child, the child of the woman, Christ, was caught up into God and to his throne. That's a very short, clear expression of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And when you belong to Christ, then Christ took you with him. We read so beautiful in one of the epistles, and has us set with him in heaven. With him. For when Christ ascended to heaven, he took his whole bride with him in his heart. And his promise is, where I live, there shall be my servant. So the whole church is safe for all eternity, set with Christ in heaven. There's your treasure. There is your future. There is your heart. Where your treasure is, there is your heart, isn't it? When it's well with us, our treasure is in heaven. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So the woman is always fleeing. She fled the powers of evil are following after her. And she fled. She fled in the wilderness. That's her living place. That's her dwelling place. The wilderness. Where she had a place prepared of God. That's not such a beautiful place, isn't it? It reminds us at the time that the children of Israel went out of Egypt and wandered through the wilderness. There was no food. There was no water. There was nothing to buy. They were totally dependent on the Lord. What does that mean? That the church of God has to flee literally to a place, a desert, and live there together? No. Such a place cannot be found. It means that the world in which the woman is living is for her a wilderness. She is wandering through the wilderness. By nature, we want to build up our paradise here. A nice house, a nice family, a nice this, a nice that, a nice car. And we want to feel comfortable. And when we think about eternity, it's far away. And when we think about the coming of Christ, not now. That's the world. That's also the religious world. But a woman, the bride of Christ, the woman so beautiful, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, that wonderful, beautiful woman, her place here is in the wilderness. And she flee in the wilderness. For the powers of evil want to make her wise. You are living here in paradise. You must enjoy here your life. You must forget that you die. You must forget that there is a judgment throne. You cannot think about that every day and every moment. You must live here. You have your duty. You have your responsibility. And all blessings of the Lord, enjoy them. Be directed and focused on the world in which you live and make a paradise of it. We recognize that, isn't it? That's our nature. Your and mine. Nobody excluded. We're all the same by nature. We seek it here. We know it's not here. We all know it. But by nature we live as if we can stay here till eternity. And who among us is living in the wilderness? Dependent on the Lord for life, for food, for drink, for protection, for everything. Living out of his hands, living in total dependence of him. That's the woman in the wilderness. Not my strengths, not my abilities, but all what I have, all what I receive, all what I can, I receive it out of the hands of the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. That's a total different life. And living in the wilderness means you are not at home here, really. Every day you have to go farther through the wilderness. Every day you come closer to your goal, to your final destination. For your heart is in the promised land. And this world, with all the blessings the Lord gives and leaves us, cannot fill our heart, cannot fill our life, We are living in a wilderness. So many temptations, so many dangers. A body full of sin and death. Wretched man I am, who shall deliver me? And so the Church of God is traveling through the wilderness from oasis to oasis. And they all go from strength to strength. And when the Lord gives new strength, new hope, new life, there we enjoy in the Lord. And our longing becomes stronger to be at home. We are in the wilderness, and we can be there, where she has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Yeah, it's amazing where the people of God brought by him there can live. Joseph, he could live in Egypt. And he became nearly the mightiest man of Egypt, the redeemer of Egypt, the redeemer of the people. Safnat Paanea means redeemer of the people. Daniel, he could live in Babel. He was nearly, except the king, the mightiest man in Babel. And yet a wilderness. He came in the pit of the lions. He was hated by everybody. And yet he had such a high place. And yet it was and stayed a wilderness, the land of exile, not at home. And yet to be there, where she has a place prepared of God, because the Lord, in his eternal wisdom, rules and reigns also the lives of his people, where you live, where you work, where you are blessed, and where you may be a blessing. But it's the wilderness, surrounded by enemies, inwardly, outwardly, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's the same time as the Gentiles treated the holy city in chapter 11. And the same time that the witnesses prophesied in sackcloth. That's the time between the ascension of the Lord Jesus and his coming. Sometimes expressed in days, sometimes expressed in months, sometimes expressed in times. But the time is God's time. And so long, the woman is in the wilderness. During God's times, my times are in thy hands. And that's a comfort too. And there they feed her. Even the world must feed her. For the Lord cares for his people. Wonderfully, he's the same. There came bread from heaven, water out of the rock. God is the Almighty God. Sometimes it's wonderful how heathen people must care for the Lord's people. When you are in the hands of the Lord, you are have a good insurance. Perfect insurance for body and soul. Nobody can separate us. I'm assured that nobody can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And the Lord promises people, and your bread shall be sure, and your water too. And he is mighty enough to care for you, for your whole life, for your whole body. And he can use whom he wants. But the Lord cares for his bride, for the woman is his bride. The woman is his beloved one. And then our attention is drawn again to heaven. And then we must remind what I said in the beginning, that the apostles saw a token. And a token is not the reality real, but it explains us, shows us something of the reality. A token is a small expression of a much greater reality behind it. By example, a ring is a token of love. But what is the ring compared with love itself? In the Lord's Supper, the bread is a token of his body and his eternal love. And the wine is a token of his blood. But what are these tokens compared with his blood really? Not a token is the reality. It's only an example, an image. It shows us something so that we shall think at higher things. The Lord comes down to our weakness of understanding, giving us tokens, remembrances. But the reality of his love, of his broken body, of his eternal righteousness, the reality of his blood applied to our heart by the Holy Spirit, bringing divine peace, eternal life in our soul. That's much more than a piece of bread and a little bit of wine. And yet, these things are tokens instituted by the Lord himself, and therefore we may use them, must use them, and when the Lord is willing to bless them to us. I want to express with it that we are so limited. We are so small in our understanding. We cannot be compared with a little child. In 1 Corinthians 13 we read, "When I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I have become an adult..." There's a big difference between a child of 2 years old and a man of 85, full with the wisdom of his life, full of experiences. And the difference between what we can understand now and reality which shall be revealed to us is much endless, much greater. That we have to realize. When we go again to heaven, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. In a way which I cannot really explain, Satan, the dragon, had a certain excess in heaven. And he is called also in this chapter the accuser of the brethren. We can that read also in the book of Job, that Satan mixed himself among the children of God, and the Lord spoke to him about Job. And he was accusing Job falsely. You know the story. But when Christ ascended to heaven, he came in with the precious price of his own blood and perfect sacrifice. He came in heaven with a full, perfect, eternal satisfaction, a total payment for all the sins and all the debts of all the Lord's people, from Adam to the last elected one. It is finished. It is paid. It's gone away. No sin, no guilt for everybody who is in Christ Jesus. Not one. No accusation. Has no sense anymore. Until the day that the sacrifice of Christ was not there in reality. Satan could accuse. Had in some way, I cannot explain, I don't want to try it. But had in some way access. And then he had to leave. And he didn't want. And there came in heaven war. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Any more into all eternity. No place for Satan in heaven. There was his root. There was his origin. There he was created. And now cast out for all eternity. Heaven empty of Satan, his angels. Never anymore. Heaven full of the glory and the love and the praise of the triune God. Heaven full of the holy angels. Heaven streaming full of the souls which have been saved by the sacrifice of Christ. Heaven full with the body and souls of all who are released, who are redeemed in the great day of judgment. That's the future. That's the comfort. And that's the message of this part. And the great dragon was cast out. The name dragon expresses his cruelty and his thirst for blood. Where you see that people hate one another, for what reason? Fight with one another, make war with one another. And the history of the world in which we live is a history of bloody, bloody wars. And what we can expect is far more wars than whatever happened. Don't forget it. Before the Lord Jesus is coming, the powers of the dragon shall break forth, destroying and perishing a big part of mankind. Natural love is disappearing, and the prince of this world, the dragon, seven heads, what a science. What a possibilities. What a clever man. To a real clever, clever man who find out the first nuclear bomb. You must have great gifts to find out that. And now the United States, Russia, other countries have nuclear bombs. They can destroy the whole world within half an hour. That's the world in which we live. And the comfort for the church of God and the woman in the wilderness is that the Lord rules and reigns. Also that token is seen in heaven. But when we live close to the Word, and what's teaching us about the last days, we can expect a lot of terrible things. And this world becomes, for the church, more and more a wilderness, a place where we cannot stay, a place given us by the Lord, but a place where we have to go through, where is not our goal, and not our future. He was cast out, that old serpent that reminds us, my dear children, you know, that old serpent, that's a name for the devil. And what are you thinking now? You think at the story in paradise. There the serpent came to deceive, to kill Adam and Eve, our first parents. And it seemed to be that he succeeded. It seemed to be, it was not. Called the devil. Devil means literally evil speaker, accuser. When you are speaking evil of other people, you are doing the own works of the devil, teaches our catechism. When you lie, when you speak evil, when you slander, you are doing devil's work. When you are accusing people falsely, it's all devilish. And how often happens it, even in the Christian congregation? For also there the serpent and the devil is doing a lot of work, evil work. He is the accuser, and in his names he is revealed, so that we recognize him when we hear people slandering, speaking false witness. We know it's the devil. When we hear people lying, speaking a half-truth is a whole lie, we hear the devil, for that's his name. Cruelty, lying, deceiving, tempting, the serpent, and Satan. Satan means the opponent, the adversary of, always coming against God, against his anointed, against his son, against his church. So in this expression, in this verse, is revealed to us the power, the ability, and the way of the prince of darkness, which deceiveth the whole world. That's what we see in the time in which we live, isn't it? That couldn't be in the time that John wrote this. For the whole world was not in picture. People didn't know that America existed. Nobody knew that. That America existed. When the Bible, the New Testament was written. No man ever heard of America. Where the gospel is preached tonight. The whole world. The whole world. No exception. All the nations. United Nations, all by television, all by computer networks, all by what the devil is finding out more. We can expect much more, for the beast shall do great wonders, and hold the whole world shall follow after that beast. That's what we can expect. We must be prepared on it. Only we can be protected. When Christ is in us, and the Holy Spirit is guiding us, when he teaches the difference, when we are made able to prove the spirits, whether they are out of God or not, and his angels, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, that's what happened after the ascension of Christ. And from other parts, we know chapter 20, that there has been a time that Satan has been bounded so that he could not deceive the nations. So this portion shows us already, as it happened also in verse 5, that the Lord Jesus should rule all nations with a rod of iron, the end of times. And here is shown to us what shall happen with Satan in the end of times, deceiving the whole world, cast out into the earth, and his angels with him. That's what we can expect when we compare the different parts of the words of our Lord Jesus, several parts of the book of Revelation, what shall happen in the end of times. And I think that times are very close, for we live in a time as never have been before in the history of this world. We live in a world which can be compared with a small village. And when there is a crisis in America, there is a crisis in Europe, there's a crisis in Asia, and also with some disasters in nature. The Lord showed in volcano outbursting, whole Europe cannot fly. Billions, billions of damage. What is man? We live in a world in which everything is connected with everything, and everybody is influenced by everybody. And the might and the power of Satan shall deceive the whole world when we belong to that world. But the Lord Jesus says to his church, I hope you belong to it, because you are not of the world. The world shall hate you. The woman in the wilderness, are you the woman? Are you the bride? Living in the wilderness, persecuted by the devil. And the more the time approach that Jesus comes, the more severe it shall become. We can expect that. And we have no time to finish the whole chapter, but we shall see it, Lord willing, next time, what the effects are when the Satan, the serpent, which deceives the whole world, is cast out into the earth. But the church is saved. God gives her place in the wilderness. She cannot find here her rest. She cannot find here her paradise. And the more difficult it becomes, the more she starts to cry, Lord, Jesus, come. Come hastily. And then their short time of suffering shall be changed in an eternal glory. For I saw a token, and a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That's the future. That's heaven. That was seen in heaven, the bride, in her beauty, in her fullness. And that's the only thing which is really important in our life, that we belong to that bride. Amen. Let us think and pray now. All ever blessed Lord, we thank thy holy name that thou brought us together here to explain and to hear such hidden things. And we beseech thee, O Lord, apply it to our heart, that we may belong to the woman, being with child, always ready to bring forth. Lord, that we may live in the wilderness, the place prepared by thee, living out of thy fullness, and thy might and thy love, in total dependence on thee, and looking forward to the promised land. O Lord, make us ready when we have to go through Jordan of death, that we shall not deceive ourselves, but that thy grace may be real and true in our souls. Say unto our soul, I am thy salvation. We thank thee, O Lord, for all thy mercies, also of this night, and we pray for the forgiveness of all our sins, for our best works are mixed with sin. Our best sermons and services need the blood of Christ. Only in that blood, in that wonderful sacrifice, all the sins of thy people are done away. It is finished. Let it sound deeper and deeper, more and more, and more often in our hearts. It is finished. Lord, bring us safely home. And do us looking forward to the coming rest day, thy holy day. And let our heart be in thy word and our pleasure in thy service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go to your home in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.